Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic, Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Caroline Fenton from Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You know, it's a tough morning for myself and everybody else in the city. But
sure.
Nashville's a very strong city. Unfortunately, it has had to show that it is a lot stronger than I would probably prefer for it to be. But my hearts are with the family of the Coventry School, of the first responders who saved lives. So it's a hard day, but we will power through. We're tough.
Yep, absolutely. And we talked about that to begin the show, and just our prayers continue to be with the families involved in that horrific situation. And we'll get a little bit more into that later in the show as well. So, Caroline, we were just talking about the Titans and some comments that Vrabel made yesterday on the Byard situation, on the Tannehill situation. Let's just start with Tannehill, because, I mean, look, I think he's going to be the quarterback. I'm leaving some room open for the Titans maybe drafting a quarterback, and we'll see what happens there. But what do you make of, like, if you're Ryan Tannehill right now, viewing this team, viewing the opportunity in front of you, where are you right now, if you're Tannehill, in terms of what this year means for you and how important it is to your future and your career?
It's really tough, right? Because it's easy for me to look at the situation with Ryan Tannehill on the outside looking in and say, oh, well, Tannehill will be probably the starter in 2023, and they'll most likely find a solution moving forward. When you're Ryan Tannehill, that's not as easy to swallow. I think when you're Ryan Tannehill, you need to go into this season, I think similarly how he went into last season, and say, I'm playing for my job. I'm playing for my career. Whether that's my job with the Tennessee Titans or whether that's playing for GMs and coaches across the league to say, hey, I can be a certifiable starter in this league. I think that's how you have to go into the season, and I think that's how he went into last season as well. I'm playing for my job. If I have an opportunity in the NFL this year, I'm going to use it to prove to everybody to say, hey, I still deserve to be the quarterback of this football team. I think that Ryan Tannehill, his performance this past season kind of gets overanalyzed in a bad light, and unfairly so. 2 years ago, you can say that this Titan season ended early because of Ryan Tannehill. And I think that sentiment has kind of carried into 2022. But I don't think that's fair. I think Ryan Tannehill had a fine season this past year, and he wasn't the problem. But I think everybody who doesn't watch the Titans on a week-to-week basis would say, oh, it's Tannehill. You know, it's Tannehill. He's turning the ball over like crazy. And I don't think that's necessarily fair. But he's got to go out and play for his job this year.
Caroline, what do you make of the receiver position for this group? Obviously, they've not addressed it yet. And quite frankly, like, the free agent crop has been horrible this year. But they still have a huge need at wide receiver. Do you think that they can fix that in the draft? Is this maybe a couple-year fix? How do you view the receiver room right now?
It's unfortunate, because if you would have asked me, okay, what's the perfect thing for the Titans to do? I would say go out and get a veteran in free agency, and it doesn't need to be a massive trade for DeAndre Hopkins. It doesn't need to be a massive trade for Mike Evans. Even though I do think bringing in Mike Evans would make your team better, I would look at it and say, let's bring in a veteran free agent wide receiver to kind of bridge that gap between Treylon Burks and the receiver that you draft this year, and then kind of carry into the next year and reevaluate how you feel about your wide receiver room there. So also, I would also, you know, draft a wide receiver, whether that's a guy that you love in the first round, whether that's a guy that you love in the second round. I think the Titans are in a good position now, considering how deep this wide receiver class is. That's something that TD has said several times, that, you know, you don't need a wide receiver at 11. You can trade back in the first round, grab a receiver in the early to late 20s. You can grab a really solid receiver in the second round, because that's just the nature of this wide receiver class. I would say that would have been the perfect scenario. However, you don't have that veteran free agent wide receiver out there that is really going to be a guy that you bring in and you're like, oh, yeah, like, that nice move, because there's just a bunch of, you know, jabronis in this wide receiver free agent class. So I don't know what the Titans are going to do. They still can bring in a veteran free agent wide receiver, bring him in on the cheap just to have a veteran presence in that room, just to have a guy that's been in the league and has played a full season of football in that wide receiver room. But I do think it can be fixed, if that's the word that you want to use, in one off season, looking to the draft. But if the Titans are only looking to fill this wide receiver room or patch up this wide receiver room in the draft. Well, then you've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who is a wide receiver 3 at best in this league. You've got Treylon Burks going into his second season. After his first season, he struggled to stay on the field. And then you've got a rookie who has zero NFL experience whatsoever. And then you've got, you know, the Kyle Phillips of the world, the Racy McMaths of the world, the receivers that you don't want to go into the season relying on. The last thing I want the Titans to do is to approach this wide receiver room like they approached the offensive line this past year, which is, we'll figure it out. We'll find somebody. You know, we'll be fine. And that obviously was not the case.
Caroline Fenton on with us. Caroline, Josh Dobbs recently signed with the Cleveland Browns. Let's just, for, you know, fun, say that Ryan Tannehill, he will be the starting quarterback next year. Mm-hmm. How do you view this backup quarterback situation?
Oh, Michelle, it keeps me up at night. Oh, when I saw that Josh Dobbs signed with the Browns, I was thinking, what in the world? Because it's not like he signed some massive deal.
No.
And some deal that the Titans could never match in a million years. I'm thinking Josh Dobbs was fine for you. Josh Dobbs is the perfect backup for this team. He is so freaking smart. He is so hardworking. He's one of those guys that I think he's just good in the locker room. And, you know, he was able to come in and start that Cowboys game after being in the quarterback room for, what, a week? So I thought that was kind of a no-brainer that the Titans would bring Josh Dobbs back. So I was floored. Shocked and floored when I saw that he signed with the Browns. I don't know what the Titans are going to do at backup quarterback, but if they go into this season with Malik Willis as the backup quarterback, I think that is football malpractice. They made that mistake this past year, and we saw how that came to fruition. Now, maybe Malik Willis behind the scenes is making, you know, these miraculous leaps and bounds forward and is improving as a quarterback like nobody we've ever seen before. And they think he's going to be a good option at backup quarterback, but I don't see it personally. Whenever I think about the future of the Titans, both long-term and short-term, I don't factor Malik Willis into it. And maybe that's more on me than it is on the Titans. I just don't know how the Titans can continue to rely on Malik Willis moving forward when we've seen enough of a sample size in year one to say, okay, maybe he needs a little bit more time, or maybe he just can't help your football team moving forward.
Caroline, looking at this Tennessee Titans team as constructed right now, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have made some moves, but nothing long term, you know, not crazy contracts out there. There's still a question at wide receiver. We talked about backup quarterback, even starting quarterback. How do you view this team? And, you know, as we're about a month away from the NFL draft, how do you view this team currently? And do you think right now that they're currently constructed better than last year's team?
I'll answer your second question about is it constructed better than last year's team. I'll look at individual pieces. The offensive line, I think, is in a better shape now than it was this time last year, because now you're not relying on Dennis Daly to be your left tackle. Now you went out and found an actual legitimate left tackle that you want to fill that position. Now, Andre Dillard, let's not forget, doesn't have any starting experience in the NFL. So that's very little, rather, starting experience in the NFL. So that is one thing to keep in mind is, yes, you found a left tackle, but is that going to be – is Andre Dillard going to pan out? You know, you don't bring in Andre Dillard in the same form or fashion as you do an Orlando Brown, for example. So I would say offensive line is better. I would say the wide receiver core is not as good because you don't have enough bodies. I would say clearing up the contracts of Taylor Lewan and Robert Woods and Bud Dupree, that does make you better, because now you're not paying a lot of money to players that you can't rely on. So it's hard to answer that question whenever this roster isn't fully complete. There is still so much time. You have the NFL draft. You have all of these trades and moves that have yet to happen. That's one thing that I want to remind everyone, is sometimes I think it's hard to see the forest from the trees, but I'm here to remind you that there is so much time. I'll go back to the free agency grades on ESPN.com this time last year. And post-free agency grades, and the Philadelphia Eagles were ranked 19th in the NFL.
Yeah.
And we know what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles, that they added in pieces, continued to added in A.J. Brown on draft day. So there is so much time. There are so many moves to be made, and this team's going to have to make them. They're going to have to. This roster is not constructed where it needs to be right now, but that's okay because there's time.
Caroline, last thing for you here. How do you think this situation with Kevin Byard ultimately shakes out with the Titans?
it's kind of a bizarre situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do think ultimately that Kevin Byard will be a Tennessee Titan in 2023. Playing under what dollar amount, I don't know. I understand the Titans not wanting to play Kevin Byard at this current cap hit. I understand that. But just restructure him again. It's not a bad thing to continue to restructure contracts. I saw a lot of people in the text line on our show yesterday as we were discussing Kevin Byard's contract. I saw so many texts that said, but they already restructured his contract two times. So what? Do it again. It's a good thing for Kevin Byard to restructure that contract. A restructure doesn't mean he's taking less money. It really means that he's getting more money up front. So it's really a positive thing for Kevin Byard, rather, to restructure that contract. So do it again if you don't want him to play under that cap number. If you don't want to kick the can down the road, then you're just going to have to swallow it and eat that cap number. Because if I'm Kevin Byard, I'm taking a pay cut. Heck no. He's done nothing but good things for this team. But I do ultimately think it gets worked out. I do ultimately think that Kevin Byard plays as Titan in 2023. But the whole situation is bizarre.
Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Row. Caroline, thanks for being with us this morning. We'll be listening at 11 o'clock.
See you later, Caroline.
I appreciate y'all. Enjoyed listening to y'all this morning.
Thank you very much. Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Caroline, Willie, and D-May starting at 11 o'clock this morning. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll react to what Caroline had to say there and also get a little bit more into the Lamar Jackson situation, including a team in the AFC South that apparently could be interested in his services. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join 1025, The Game, and the Preds Energy Team at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs this Thursday, March the 30th. The Preds Road Watch Party as the Nashville Predators take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Stop by and enjoy Brewhouse South and their 70s beers on tap, classic American menu, along with Cajun Southwestern Island Comfort Food. That's 1025, The Game, and Preds Energy Team at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So we discussed the Lamar Jackson situation earlier. He basically wrote his goodbye letter to the city of Baltimore yesterday on Twitter and informed us that he had requested a trade on March the 2nd. Meanwhile, John Harbaugh up at his press conference while this tweet was being released yesterday discussing his thoughts on Lamar Jackson. Here's what John Harbaugh, head coach of the Ravens, had to say yesterday on Lamar.
We made a decision to go with Lamar Jackson 5 years ago, right? Why? Because we love him. We love him. We love the way he plays. We love his mindset, his charisma, his style, the way he is in the locker room. Everything about him, we love him. I love him personally. I love being the coach of the team that he's playing quarterback for. So that's what you do. You know, you build the team around your players, and that's what I'm excited to do.
So that was John Harbaugh yesterday talking about building his team around Lamar Jackson and how much he loves Lamar Jackson. Which, look, I don't doubt that. Like, you know, I take John Harbaugh at his word there, but obviously the way that he feels about it and the way that Lamar Jackson currently feels about it are two very different things. And I'm interested to see how all that shakes out. Now, having said that, there was a report yesterday that there could be some interest on Lamar Jackson's behalf from the Indianapolis Colts. And we've kind of discussed that possibility and thrown it around as it relates to where Lamar Jackson could end up landing if it's not going to be in Baltimore. And Stephen Holder put this out there yesterday, and Colts general manager Chris Ballard was discussing it yesterday. Said, quote, anytime a special player is available, which he is, you've got to do the work. I'm not going to get deep into discussions of where it's at or what we're doing or what we might do. But what I tell you is he's a really good player, talking about Lamar, really special player. But you never know how any of this will work out. This is what Chris Ballard had to say yesterday. So, I mean, look, he's not outright coming out and being like, yes, we would love to have Lamar Jackson on our football team. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, he's considering all options there. Now, I will say Stephen Holder just a few minutes ago came out with something that says, I mean, let me find it here. But it was basically like Colts, they can be interested in Lamar Jackson all they want. And whether or not that's true, from what he's heard, the terms financially that Lamar Jackson is asking for are making all this a non-starter. So it doesn't sound like Lamar Jackson has really come off whatever it is he's asking for, and that maybe that's a problem for the Indianapolis Colts. It clearly is a problem for the other teams out there, but this was the tweet. Regardless of what the Colts or anyone else might love about Lamar Jackson, the very clear stance from people here at the owners' meetings I've talked to is that whatever contract demands he's currently making are absolutely a non-starter. Do with this info whatever you wish. This is from Stephen Holder, friend of the show.
Yeah, and then Irsay told Zach Kiefer of The Athletic that he does not believe in fully guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that, you know, you put both of those context clues together, that's probably what he's asking for. I mean, I bet a lot of teams are in the same situation as the Colts, right? You see this great quarterback who is available, but yet is asking for something that one organization gave the Browns, not a smart decision. Then the Cardinals flinched and they gave that to Kyler Murray. So it's trying to find something in the middle of those two contracts to make Lamar happy. But at the end of the day, he's going to be the one that needs to budge, because I have a feeling if most of the owners and the GMs at these meetings right now are on the same page, they're probably all just frustrated with the Browns organization.
Yeah.
Because it puts them all in a tough situation. And then you ask the question, could it be moving towards this way? Could more quarterbacks and more players be demanding these contracts and saying that, you know, we put our bodies out there every single day? I mean, the NFL doesn't have fully guaranteed contracts, but we see that in other leagues around the country that have fully guaranteed contract for those players. So, you know, it puts kind of everything in an interesting situation as far as if Lamar gets something, if an organization decides, you know what, we think he's our guy, or we know he's our guy, we want to bet on him, we want to give him this big guaranteed contract, could that end up changing things down the line? Because Lamar can hold out, but, you know, if a team gets desperate enough, I do believe somebody will pay the price. If they get desperate enough and they see what they do during the draft and the rest of free agency and they think, we just need a quarterback.
Well, from the Colts' perspective, I think that's where this could get really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now they're at number four in the draft, which there are four quarterbacks that people think are going to go in the first round. That's great. Now, that doesn't mean that the Colts like all four of them.
Nope.
And I think we know that the first two picks are going to be quarterback. Like, Carolina's going to take a quarterback. It's looking like it's going to be C.J. Stroud. Houston's going to take a quarterback. It's probably going to be Bryce Young. Now, maybe that changes. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But I'd be surprised if it's not Stroud and Young in some form or fashion going one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Arizona at three, and they don't need a quarterback, but they also don't need to stay at three. Like, they
no.
could trade out of that. So
they should.
There is a scenario, if you're Indy, where if you hang around at four, three of the quarterbacks could be gone by the time you pick. And look, maybe you like all four of them. You don't care all that much who it is. But my guess is that's rarely the case. Like, usually you've got a pretty good pecking order of what you want and what you don't. And, I mean, if you're Indy and you don't move up and somebody takes Arizona's spot, so your quarterback could be gone. And then, like, are you good if you're Jim Irsay or Chris Ballard in the Colts, are you going to be like, well, we know the guy that we really wanted is gone, but Will Levis is available. Let's take him at number four. We don't really like him, but, I mean, that would be a pretty bad way to do business there. So, like, I could see where you get through the draft – and this Lamar situation still not resolved. And what if they don't get their guy in the draft and they say, you know what, well, let's just go get Lamar. Like, that could change that situation then. But also, like, if I'm a Colts fan and I had my druthers, like, if they loved one of these guys coming out of the draft, like, go get him, get a rookie deal on him, build a team around him and see whether or not he's any good. But I'm interested to see what happens on that front, because that's when I think the Colts and Lamar stuff could get pretty interesting, is if they don't find their guy in the draft.
Yeah, we need to hear from Bindi N. Oh my God, that was
hadn't heard
words are hard. Indy Ben, on this, because, you know, the Colts, we've laughed about it, but I mean, in Frank Reich's entire time there before he got fired this past year, it had just been the revolving door at quarterback. Okay,
yep.
Let's go try to find somebody who's proven themselves. And Lamar's different because he still is young.
Yeah, like, he would be an answer there. Like, he would – he's good enough where he could be the franchise guy.
But
now,
the,
is he going to win a Super Bowl? I have no idea. But he's good enough to be a franchise guy.
But the Colts, you know, you look at that roster right now, they got a up that receiving core, right? I don't know what they're doing with their offensive line. I know they were the highest paid offensive line in the league last year, right? What's happening with that? I look at this Colts team as, yeah, he could be your answer at quarterback, but how much money is he asking for? How much money does he want guaranteed? And what are you able to put around him? Because I think one of the biggest knocks on Lamar, too, has been, you know, he hasn't – people always say, okay, well, he can't throw. Okay, well, what electric wide receivers has he actually had with the Ravens? Not too many. Right. So, you know, can you get him a guy like that? Can you get him a guy like that in Indy? I know they have Pittman Jr., but, you know, what does that look like? So, oh, gosh, if he was in this division, that would really stir things up.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm looking right now, Jacksonville's – I mean, they're the favorite – right, coming off the win last year. They've got a first place schedule this year. They're going to have Calvin Ridley coming in. Trevor Lawrence just another year. You look at this Tennessee Titans team, and I would put them second right now.
For sure.
Because Houston and Indy, I still put question marks there because of everything we've mentioned. Are they going to draft quarterbacks? You know, what does Houston look like with if they do get a Bryce Young? How is he in his first year? Are they able to address some other areas on the roster? But they easily could take a jump like Jacksonville did when they had a couple years of not being very good. They got some high draft picks. They get their quarterback. Houston could easily make a turnaround like that and in the next 2 years be in a similar position that Jacksonville was in this year. But if the Colts go out and get Lamar Jackson, I mean, and you're a Tennessee Titans fan, and there are no significant big moves that make your roster significantly better, I mean, you're sitting at third in the division, I would say, in not a very competitive division.
Well, this all goes back to what you said earlier, and I agree with. Like, it's a great business decision by the Ravens to put this non-exclusive franchise tag on him. Mm-hmm. Andrew Brandt just put this out there this morning, former executive with the Packers. He says, bottom line for Lamar, if he's not traded or not extended, will he show up in September or turn his back on roughly $2 million per week this season? He'll probably show up. Again, that's the power of the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. It's what Andrew Brandt put out there this morning. So we'll see what happens on the Lamar Jackson front. Lots happening at the NFL owners meeting. Some news and notes around the league yesterday. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic. Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Make sure you check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's from Hot Works in Goodlettsville. It's open 24/7 in their infrared virtually LED sauna classes, virtually LED sauna classes. I can't read today. Choose from Hot Cycle, Hot Blast, Hot Thunder, Hot Yoga, Hot Bar, and more. Right now, you can join for just $39 in time for their grand opening coming up on April 1st. That's $60 off at thegamenashville.com/deals. Make sure you check it out. You can get more workout in less time at Hotworks. Just go to thegamenashville.com/deal. 615-737-1025. Taking a look at some headlines around the National Football League with the NFL owners meetings taking place yesterday. By the way, they put out like the annual coaches picture.
Vrabel's not in it.
And Vrabel wasn't in there. I was like, what's going on, man? But I guess Sirianni wasn't in there and Frank Reich wasn't in there either. So they had 29 of the 32 coaches in NFL coaches picture yesterday.
You can't. As if people wouldn't notice, I saw Teresa quoted it and was like, I don't see Vrabel in here. And I was like, she must have been missing him or something.
Well, I mean,
and I went through all of them and I was like, wait a minute, he isn't.
He's a pretty big guy, I guess. I feel like we'd notice him in there, but he's not in the picture. So I don't know what that means.
If you look at Bill Belichick,
what he's doing?
He's just sitting in the front row, his arms are crossed.
Classic Belichick, just kind of chilling there.
It's Mitch, like one of those holiday, like, pictures where you want to go with your family. You're like, oh yeah. Where's so-and-so?
Where's so-and-so?
Well, yeah. Not here today.
Vrabel just, I don't have time for this picture. Not doing that. Pretty good stuff yesterday out at the NFL owners meetings. There was some comments on the Aaron Rodgers and New York Jets front. Now, we had Charles Robinson on last week, and he talked about how the owners meeting, probably a good time to expect maybe this Rodgers thing to get done just because everybody's there, mm-hmm. you're in person, and you could work things out that way. Some interesting comments from Brian Gutekunst yesterday, who is the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. And obviously, we know what Aaron Rodgers said on the McAfee show a couple weeks ago about how he felt like basically the intentions to bring him back as quarterback changed after Rodgers got out of the darkness. And Gutekunst was addressing some of that yesterday, and he said, quote, I was really looking forward to conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So there came a time where we had to make some decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to talk to him about where we're going with our team. At that point, they informed us that he would like to be traded to the Jets. So whatever Aaron Rodgers is saying and whatever Brian Gutekunst is saying, not quite adding up here in terms of the way this whole thing went down. It's getting kind of ugly between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and no deal has been made as of yet. And there's conversation now, and I heard Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max talking about it this morning on the way in. Like, if you're the Jets throughout all this, do you look around at Lamar and say, hey, you know what, maybe we'll just throw our hat in the Lamar race and drop Rodgers? I mean, Gutekunst was asked yesterday, like, is there a scenario where Rodgers is still on your team next year? And he's like, well, you know, not taking anything off the table. Now, he would be stupid to be like, no way, because you're in the middle of a trade negotiation. So I get it from that standpoint. But now there's kind of the talking about, like, should the Jets hang in there? How much value should they give up? Should they give up a first-round pick in order to get Rodgers? It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But based on the way the conversation was going yesterday, doesn't really feel like a deal is necessarily close between the Packers and the New York Jets.
Well, and if you're the Jets, you look at the situation and, I mean, you can ask Aaron Rodgers, but if he is going to give you a real answer, I don't know. I mean, the Packers just gave him the huge contract coming off an MVP season to be there for five more years. And then the same thing happens at the end of the season. He's weighing his options, and is he going to end his football career? I mean, if you're the Jets and you're going to go, you know, give up, if the Packers want first-round picks, right, like depending on whatever you give up, and then in addition to taking on Aaron's contract, I mean, you need to be absolutely sure that he's not just going to play for you 1 year and then whip up the peace sign and say, you know what, I'm done, I think I'm going to retire.
Yep.
So when you look at the Lamar situation, it's definitely more of an investment on, and this Jets team is young. I mean, they've got some young stud receivers, a young defense. So are you trying to build something for, you know, the future? You think you could put Lamar in there and you're like, you know, he might be worth the investment, because as much as Aaron Rodgers, yes, in his time in the NFL has been, I mean, he's a lot older than Lamar, but he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? He's already created that entire resume. Is it worth it for the Jets to give up so much,
right,
to potentially have Rodgers at the end of the season say, yeah, I'm weighing my options and I want to look around at other teams, or I want to retire? That's kind of the way I look at it. When you look at quarterbacks, I mean, if I have the choice for the next couple years and say Rodgers is maybe a little bit younger, I'm choosing Rodgers. I think he's a better quarterback. But he could give you 1 year and then say, yeah, I don't want to play anymore.
So, well, I think it's part of what the holdup is too, right? Like, it's, if you're the Packers, you're trying to get as much out of it as you can. There's not necessarily a rush for you to do it if you're the Packers, just because, I mean, he's there. He's under contract. You know, you already have your other guy that you're going with after this. So there's not really a rush to get the deal done. But it's also like, if you're the Jets, like, to your point, there's no guarantee that you're going to have him for any more than a year. So are you, is that worth giving up a first round pick? I don't know. Like, it's, I'm really interested to see, like, who kind of bends first. Like, somebody's going to have to bend in order for this deal to get done. And I'm interested to see who that ends up being. But based on those comments yesterday, it kind of makes it seem like it may be a little bit away from happening at this point. In other news, the Philadelphia Eagles are hoping to sign Jalen Hurts to a contract extension, quote, relatively soon. This is what Howie Roseman, their general manager, had to say yesterday. He said, when you go back to the start of free agency, we talked to his representatives about bringing him back here and also talked to them about the fact that we have limited resources. It's no secret that at some time relatively soon, we want to extend our quarterback, so our whole roster building is going to kind of turn a little bit here from a quarterback on a rookie deal towards a quarterback, hopefully, on a long-term deal, is what Howie Roseman had to say yesterday.
That's going to be interesting to see what type of contract Jalen Hurts gets, too. I mean, we look at one of the other young quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, who we've mentioned a couple times. He got that big contract, but hasn't even really proved anything for the Arizona Cardinals. Here's Jalen Hurts. He takes his team to a Super Bowl. Just barely loses to the Chiefs. You have a roster from top to bottom that last year was the best roster in the NFL. Obviously, things are changing now, but what will that roster look like when they aren't able to sign the top player at each individual position? I mean, we look at the offensive line. They're the best offensive line of football. They just Jason Kelce got an extension, a pretty significant extension. I think he's getting $34 million added onto his contract. I mean, you're paying A.J. Brown. Is Devontae Smith going to want a new contract soon? I mean, Jalen Hurts is. So there are some young guys on that roster who really made a case to get a new contract, including Jalen Hurts. But the conversation, again, on when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, it is a lot easier to be in a Super Bowl window because of the salary cap. And you look at a guy like Joe Burrow, who's already come out and said, I'll take a team-friendly deal. I want Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on my team. And I think, whew, if you're a football fan, you better be scared of that coming for you the next couple of years. It's like what Brady did all those years. He said, okay, I'll take the team-friendly deal. And, I mean, he has a bunch of Super Bowls to show for it. But what will this deal from Jalen Hurts look like, I think, is what I'm interested to see. Because he was able to make it to a Super Bowl with all of these guys around him, a greatly constructed team. Is he somebody maybe willing to take somewhat of a team-friendly deal, or how big of a contract will they give him? So,
yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, look, they're a team right now, obviously, that's built to win. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I mean, they've been able to go get A.J. Brown. They've been able to do these things in some part just because Jalen Hurts is on the rookie deal that he's on. And Howie Roseman, I mean, laid it out there. Like, they obviously want to sign Jalen Hurts to a long-term deal. Anytime you find an answer at quarterback, you want to get that taken care of. But that does change the equation of how you build your roster around him. So I'm interested to see how they do that and what that ends up looking like. And just the Jalen Hurts contract too. Like, there's everybody's talking about the Lamar contract and what the money looks like. Like, Jalen Hurts, people forget, heading into last year, in Philadelphia, around here, after the A.J. Brown trade, lots of people nationally. The question was, like, all right, well, Jalen Hurts has all of the weapons now in front of him. Mm-hmm. Is he good enough to take advantage of it? And I think we found out pretty quickly that the answer is yes, he is good enough. And even though they lost that Super Bowl game, he was awesome in that game. So
I mean, he should have been the MVP.
Right.
Honestly.
Like, I mean, he played great. He played great all year. So, I mean, really, you're talking about 1 year where he's looked great, but he looked really darn good that 1 year. And I think the contract, I mean, it's an easy decision for the Eagles to go with him, but I am interested to see ultimately what that deal looks like based on basically 1 year of elite play.
Well, and then on top of that, Devontae Smith, only second year in the league, but what could it look like at the end of next year? I mean, is he going to want a big wide receiver contract, like, you know, like an A.J. Brown contract, like a Christian Kirk contract, because that's going to, I think, factor into it too. Are they going to be able to keep both of those guys? Similar to the conversation we have with the Bengals, right? Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow. They're kind of all in the same age group. So all of their contracts and wanting that contract extension, they kind of all come up within, you know, a couple years of each other. So that's another core that I'm looking at to see, okay, if they can all stay and the Eagles can make it all work, those three, they're going to be pretty dangerous, you know, in the NFC for years to come, Robbie.
Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick the Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are referred so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Coming up next, we normally do a rant at this time, but honestly, to me, it kind of feels inappropriate today. So we're going to get back into discussing what we led off the show with, a tragic day in our city yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next and offer some of our thoughts on that situation as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezvik, Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up at 8 o'clock. David Poyle, Nashville Predators general manager, will join us at 8:30. So looking forward to those two conversations coming up here in the next hour or so. But we led off the show this way, and normally at this time every day we do a Rob rant or a Red rant or a Rex rant. And quite honestly, today, I mean, it felt like me in here whining about traffic or pedestrians crossing traffic like I did yesterday or something stupid like that is just not the appropriate way to go today. So we're gonna do something a little bit differently today. And we led off the show this way, but, you know, obviously it's worth reiterating just what a terrible day yesterday was in our city. And we know what happened at the Covenant School. Three young children killed yesterday, three staff members killed yesterday as well at the Covenant School. And it was a heartbreaking day to just watch all this unfold in our city. It happened shortly while after I got off the air, and Michelle, mm-hmm. you and Chase were still on the air while this was going on yesterday. And it was just a horrifying experience. And I said this earlier, like it always resonates with me when these things happen. And unfortunately they happen with such a frequency nowadays that it's almost hard to keep up. But there's something about it when it happens in your own backyard that is just so different. And really the only thing that I could think about yesterday, and I'm sure this is the case for most everybody in our community, was those families and those children and all of the people involved that are having to now deal with this in the aftermath of it, and just the horror of what happened yesterday at the Covenant School. And I said this earlier, you know, I understand that when things like this happen, there is a natural political discourse that takes place, and I'm sure that that is going to happen. It's already started happening on some social media fronts. There are 1,000 different places that, you know, you can have those discussions and do that. This is not really one of them. Like, it's not my place to tell you how to think about a certain issue. You can think that way for yourselves. Quite frankly, I don't think any of you are concerned about my thoughts on those things. But it was just such a heartbreaking day yesterday. And just like you said earlier, I was watching the newscast yesterday of, you know, I was kind of flipping around from 2 to 4 to 5 mm-hmm. to 17 and just watching all these things unfold and watching parents literally sprint by the camera to see if they can reunite with their children, or just the ongoing information that kept coming out as the day went on yesterday, the police department the providing their updates yesterday. It was just an incredibly heartbreaking day in our city. And I don't have a ton to say. Like, there's not a whole lot that I know what to say when things like this happen. Only thing I can say is, my prayers are fervently with the families that are affected here. And, you know, I talked about the discourse that naturally takes place. That's going to happen. I hope in the midst of all that, that we remember that there are families involved here that are dealing with an unimaginable pain and an incredible loss that came out of nowhere yesterday. And one of the things that I've always loved about this city and this community is when tragedy strikes, and we've seen some of it in different forms in my lifetime here. I've grown up here. I was born here. And anything from floods to tornadoes now to something just horrendous that happened yesterday, this community has always rallied behind each other and has always been able to help their own through unimaginably difficult circumstances. And let's just not let these young people and these staff members that were killed yesterday become names that we discuss for a little while and we forget about later. It's our responsibility mm-hmm. as a community to love on these people and to come alongside these people and help them through this time. And it was just such a heartbreaking day yesterday. You know, obviously we've talked about it on the show. I'm about to become a dad here in a few months. And I was just, when you have that perspective that I've not had before, it was just shattering yesterday. My wife and I were sitting there watching this all unfold in our city yesterday, and it was just heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Well, and Robbie, you and I had this conversation off air. I called my mom last night, and you're just in this, I wasn't directly affected or knew anybody in there, but you feel for them because you never imagine, you know, something like that could happen so close to home and for all the people that were impacted yesterday. And you know, the sad reality is sometimes when you see it on the news and it's far away, we've become desensitized
yep.
to so many of these horrific, tragic incidences happening around the world. And I told you, Chase and I were in the last segment of our show, and I started to see some news outlets pop up and get the breaking news notifications. And you know, you're starting to, you know, text people, and as information is unfolding, not having a kid who even goes to that school or knowing anybody who goes to that school, but you're trying to find information out. I can only imagine the way that, you know, parents and people who have loved ones who are a part of that school community or even in that area, right? And watching some of the videos come out. I mean, we've had, you know, the Today Show, Good Morning America. It's been all over the news outlets all morning. And, yep. You know, we commend our police officers and all the first responders there yesterday who, you know, were at the scene, the reporters covering this situation. But there's not much to say. And I think what you said, that this isn't a conversation to bring up political views. This is a conversation to bring up the fact that we lost a bunch of lives yesterday, that they were just going to work or they were going to school, that shouldn't have been lost because they have so much left to live. And I think it's important that as a community, it doesn't just begin to wear away after time passes,
yeah.
Right? Because maybe if you weren't directly impacted by it, life goes on and you start to, like, it's important that we remember what has happened. And because these parents, these loved ones, these daughters, these grandkids, they're going to be impacted by it every single day for the rest of their lives. And it's something that no one ever should have to experience, let alone little kids have to experience, all those little kids who lived through that and even survived onto the other side. This is something that will impact them for the rest of their lives. And I think, you know, as we sit here today and we can use our voices, you know, to speak to people all around Middle Tennessee and Nashville, it's you pray and you hug your loved ones and, you know, you do whatever you can to be the best version of yourself to, you know, stick by the people you love. And it's just so hard because there's really not, I wish you could just snap your fingers and you know, fix something like this. Yeah. But, you know, just thoughts and prayers. I know everybody at our station is thinking about the people affected by this and impacted by this. And, you know, we'll, if anything new happens or any news is, more news is unveiled surrounding this situation, we'll keep you updated on our airwaves and sharing it on social media. But just thinking about those families, those young kids, the school, and everything today.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and like I said, it's our job now to love on these people, and we saw some of that already happening last night. I mean, while the newscasts were going on last night, there were, you know, people just coming out of the woodwork to, you know, prayer vigils outside of the school. Mm-hmm. And I know several churches in the area last night had prayer time devoted to the schools and what happened yesterday. And like I said, I mean, I'm not interested or smart enough to get into the political aspect of all this, but. Mm-hmm. All I can tell you is it was heartbreaking to watch yesterday. It's still heartbreaking to watch now as it's going on. You know, obviously the news is on in our studio, and some of the pictures and video that have come out, mm-hmm. of kids crying yesterday on the school bus trying to figure out where their parents are. It's just, it's heartbreaking. And there's really no other way to describe it than that. So, look, I mean, this is such a hard time in our city. I said this earlier. I'll reiterate it again. It was really difficult to put together a show grid last night. And look, I'm not looking for any sympathy from me. I'm just trying to highlight, you know, we're talking about sports, and it's our job to talk about sports. And there are some days where sports just seem so insignificant, and this mm-hmm. is one of those days. Now, having said that, I recognize that we are a sports show, and sports can be an avenue for people to escape the realities of life. And, you know, I think that can be a really important and powerful tool as well. But just our prayers are with the families that were affected yesterday, and we'll continue to keep you updated on more information as it becomes available to you. But just, I thought anything other than that would be inappropriate today for our rant, and a lot of that stuff that we kind of joke about sometimes mm-hmm. on here seems pretty trivial when it comes to something like this. Coming up next. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say really quick, Robbie, you know, just shout out again to the Nashville police officers,
yep.
Michael Collazo and Rex Engelbert, who were able to stop the shooter and get to the scene so quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, just a shout out to Nashville police officers who were able to be at the scene quickly and help stop anything more from happening yesterday.
Yep, absolutely. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. We'll get into a lot of different topics with him throughout the world of sports here in the Middle Tennessee area. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.